This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 8th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we continue our look at the presidential campaign and rural issues by turning to healthcare. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser first, a look at today's news. The Champaign School Board is expected to take a ratification vote next Monday night on a new teachers' contract. Members of the teachers' union ratified the tentative agreement yesterday. John Nadler of the Illinois Federation of Teachers did not release details of the contract. He says he won't until both sides vote on it. But news reports describe the contract as a three-year agreement with 4.5% raises for most teachers in each year of the contract. That contract would be retroactive to last July 1st. Some teachers at Stratton School had expressed dissatisfaction with the contract, which did not pass by a unanimous vote. Nadler says concern about the struggling economy, though, is probably a factor in teachers' votes last night as well as in the final stages of bargaining. The Urbana School Board has voted to approve a restructuring plan for Urbana High School. The board decided to use a monitoring committee made up of Urbana school district administrators and education experts from the U of I instead of an administrative post to oversee the plan. It passed on a 5-2 vote. One of those who voted against the plan was Benita Rollins Gay, who said during the meeting that school staff should not oversee themselves. But Urbana School Superintendent Preston Williams says the committee would work in the students' best interests.
We're professionals. We understand what's needed. It's not a conflict of interest, and it's not that we aren't afraid to make tough changes. We do that all of the time.
The restructuring plan is a complete overhaul of the school to give it a better shot at meeting No Child Left Behind standards. The district must submit a restructuring plan to the State Board of Education because Urbana High School failed to make adequate yearly progress under No Child Left Behind for 5 years straight, but the high school met standards last year. That relaxed the requirement, but school officials still want to implement the restructuring. The first meeting for the monitoring committee is October 27th. An Urbana hospital has officially filed an appeal with the state Supreme Court as it tries to regain its tax-exempt status. There's no decision yet on whether the High Court will hear Provena Covenant Medical Center's appeal, which was filed a week ago. An appellate court ruled in favor of state and county tax officials, who say Provena should be liable for property taxes because it hadn't met its obligation for charity care. At stake is more than $6 million in back taxes, which the Champaign County Treasurer can bill Provena, according to a circuit judge's ruling. The city of Champaign plans to bypass rising interest rates on some city bonds by essentially lending money to itself. AM 580's Jim Meadows explains.
The rising interest rates are for bonds the city issued 4 years ago to help pay for improvements at the Burnham Hospital site. The $1.75 million in bonds carry a variable interest rate, and Finance Director Richard Schnurr says back then he never thought the rate would vary so much. With credit drying up everywhere, interest on the bonds is currently at 8%, more than double the original level. But the Champaign City Council voted last night to have the city buy the bonds, not pay them off, but hold them, using money from a cash reserve fund. The Tax Increment Finance District Fund, paying interest on the bonds, will now pay it to the Cash Reserve Fund, but at a much lower rate than when the bonds were held on the open market. Schnurr says if interest rates go down in the future, they can put the bonds out on the market again. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich is commenting for the first time about news that his former fundraiser could be spilling the beans. Prosecutors on Monday asked a federal judge to delay sentencing of political insider and Blagojevich fundraiser Tony Rezko. That's considered to be a sign that Rezko's cooperating with the feds in their investigation of Blagojevich's administration. The governor spoke briefly with reporters yesterday at a ribbon cutting on Chicago's South Side.
Now we got to respect the process as we've been consistently doing, and just let it all unfold and let the truth.
Are you not worried, Governor?
Can I answer the question? So let the truth just be what it is. And when you believe in the truth and you know what the truth is with respect to yourself, you feel good about things.
Blagojevich says he does things the right way. He repeatedly cited a letter Rezko sent to a federal judge that says prosecutors were overzealous in investigating Blagojevich and Illinois U.S. Senator Barack Obama. The governor has not been charged with wrongdoing. The train station in Mattoon is a step closer to a complete restoration. The head of a committee that spearheaded the effort to save the aging depot hopes that bids can be let this year. Now that nearly $1 million of federal transportation funding has been released, the state share funding is all that stands in the way of the project. Jackie Record of the Depot Restoration Committee says the project is not just for beautification, it's to make the depot accessible to more and more Amtrak passengers.
And it's 2,400, 2,500, 2,600 people every month on and off those six trains. So obviously there's a public transportation need for this, apart from it's being a part of our making our Midtown area look better.
Record says the depot is the only remaining station of its kind along the old Illinois Central Line, and it's downtown Mattoon's most prominent feature. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. We're continuing our in-depth look this week at rural issues and how the two main candidates for president are addressing them. In the issue of health care, access is a key word. It means simply getting the right amount of health care when you need it and where you need it. It sounds simple enough, but as the number of uninsured Americans increases and health care costs soar, this issue of access has stymied politicians. And for rural areas, the challenges of getting the right amount of health care when you need it and where you need it are even greater. In Columbia, Missouri, Janet Saidi has been visiting the backroads to find out what key planners and providers think about health care and what they want to hear from politicians.
Pilot Grove Rural Health Clinic.
On a Thursday morning at Pilot Grove Rural Health Clinic in Pilot Grove, Missouri, nurse practitioner Laurie Beach is making her way through a long list of patients. In some ways, Pilot Grove looks like a step back in time. The patients range in age from days old to the oldest patient, age 100. People waiting to see the nurse know the nurse. They run into her at the fair and the grocery store. And sometimes Laurie Beach feels like she's never off duty.
It's many times you go to the grocery store, you're at a horse show or whatever, somebody will walk up and say, you know, hey, I smashed my finger last night. What do you think I should do for it?
Favorite color?
Beach says the patients in her practice demonstrate daily the need for health care access in rural areas. She says 40 to 50% of her patients are on Medicare or Medicaid, and many of Beach's patients hadn't had regular health care before she opened her clinic doors. Frankly, she says she doesn't know what would happen if she weren't here.
There is a large group of patients that have not had health care in 10, 15, 20 years due to one, travel, two, you know, cost. And so I have found a lot of really serious health problems in individuals, a lot of cancers, aneurysms, things of that nature, because they haven't had any care in many years.
Policymakers are also taking notice of the needs for health care in rural areas. Bringing doctors, nurses, and health care professionals to these communities is a part of the health care policies for both presidential candidates. Barack Obama proposes a loan forgiveness program and tuition tax credits, as well as expanded online courses to attract rural health care providers.
If you want to be a doctor or a nurse, we'll pay your way if you're willing to work in an underserved hospital or an underserved community. That will help, by the way, rural communities attract more doctors and more nurses.
John McCain and the Republican plan promotes technology and higher provider salaries to improve access to health care overall and introduces a health care tax credit, $2,500 for individuals and $5,000 for families to get people to buy health insurance.
They are getting, if they're low-income people and have no health insurance today, at least now they've got $2,500 or $5,000 in the case of a family to go out and at least start beginning to have one.
Marie June Gerhardt lives between the small towns of Bunston and Prairie Home, Missouri. She's come to the Pilot Grove Clinic to see Laurie Beach about an infection in her foot and her leg. Gerhardt comes from a farming family, and thanks to 15 years as a food manager for a prison, she has health insurance. But she says she sees many family and community members having a hard time paying for health care.
But it is so pitiful to see a family that is in need and they can't afford to go to the hospitals and the doctors to get the care.
Tim McBride is the Associate Dean of Public Health at Washington University in St. Louis, and he sits on the Rural Healthcare Panel for the Rural Policy Research Institute. He says the national trend for rising numbers of uninsured populations and the rising numbers in elderly populations is hitting rural areas particularly hard. Ann McBride says there's a general failure of candidates and policymakers to address the soaring costs of Medicaid and Medicare. Policymakers aren't addressing it, McBride says, because it's simply too big.
Clearly, if you're going to be dealing with improving access, you know, reduce the uninsured, improving quality, all that takes money. And there's not a lot of money sitting around. And the costs of Medicare are escalating, and the costs of Medicaid are escalating. So that's going to be a big challenge in the next few years, I think. And I think the politicians are not really talking much about the escalating costs of Medicare and Medicaid.
Well, I'm going to stick my nose out real good here.
Back in the Pilot Grove Clinic, Marie June Gerhardt is developing her own opinion. Like McBride and the policy analysts, she has also observed the way things are going for rural health care, and she has some advice for the politicians.
They need to get together and fix it. They do. And I'd like to tell the two politicians, the four politicians, that now. You know, forget all that pettiness. Get together and come up with a program.
Between now and November, the McCain-Palin team and the Obama-Biden team will continue talking about the healthcare needs of Americans and how to pay for them. But most policy analysts seem to agree with Ms. Gerhardt in Pilot Grove, Missouri. Whoever gets elected in November, what's needed is reaching across the aisle, reaching out to Americans, and getting with a program. For the Public Radio Rural Issues Project, I'm Janet Saidi with Catherine Wolfe in Columbia, Missouri.
The weather is on an improvement trend, according to our meteorologist, Ed Kieser. The morning cloud should give way to mostly sunny skies today with a high of a cooler 68 degrees. Winds from the west to northwest at 7 to 14 miles an hour after a cold front moved through this morning. It'll be clear tonight with patchy fog forming, the low 47, west winds at 4 to 8 miles an hour. Sunny tomorrow and 75 degrees. Winds Thursday from the west to northwest at 5 to 10. It'll be clear tomorrow night with a low of 49 degrees in Champaign-Urbana. Then Friday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, the high 77. Partly cloudy Friday night, the low 54. Sunny and 80 for Saturday. Our forecast for the two state areas for today in eastern Illinois and western Indiana, cloudy with a few lingering showers in some spots, then sunny in the afternoon. Still cloudy with scattered showers in eastern Indiana, sunny already in the west, with highs from 65 near Lake Michigan to 72 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.